Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Another Look podcast.
Yes, my name's Will.
I'm Corey.
I like how we've set this up as if it feels like very formal here.
Today, it is William's choice for our penultimate episode of season one.
It's true. It was my choice. Should we not say it? Like, not say the title? And see how long it takes for people to decide or discover what the movie is. No, we're not going
to
do that.
Because the titles, they have to click the...
They have to click... We could just do...
All question marks. Every episode, question marks.
You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to do your... Like, put your work in to figure out what the hell we're talking about. I mean, even with the title, sometimes that's the case. But no... Following our episode of The Beach Bum with Matthew McConaughey,
which came off of Belly,
which Belly is referenced in The Beach Bum explicitly. This movie isn't so much referenced in The Beach Bum, but it does carry a similar ethos, I guess, of sorts. Oh, sure. And that is Richard Linklater's classic stoner high school film, Dazed Confused. Nice. I stumbled on the title. Dazed and Confused.
You're so stoned, brah.
From 1993.
30 years.
Yeah.
30 years.
30 years. Mm-hmm.
To the year.
Yeah, a recent Criterion 4K release, which is gorgeous.
It looks good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It looks about as good as this movie I think will ever look. It's quite a restoration from Criterion. I mean, their Blu-ray, which came out in like 2011 or so, like early 2010s, looked quite good still. But this is a huge step up in terms of the color, just the glow of the night, kind of neon signs and the hangout spots and all of that. It just really has a lot of detail. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, like the filmic quality too. The film.
Right.
You know, it's very clear, but you can still there. It's not distorted or dusty or anything.
Like, for sure.
There was a part near the end where I thought I noticed like some little something. And then that made me go like, oh man, this has been very like clear,
pristine so far.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, they Criterion has done a really excellent job on their 4K releases. This movie's no exception, but like, you know, stuff like Mulholland Drive, Raging Bull, all of those have been like wow, like real upgrades in my mind.
That's so cool.
But the reason I picked this was because through our Beach Bum conversation I found out that you had never seen this.
That's right.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, does Dazed and Confused really need another podcast? Like, it's pretty well regarded. A cult classic, if you can call it that. I mean, it was a Universal film, studio money. Didn't do well initially, but, you know, found its audience shortly thereafter. But I was like, Corey's never seen it. Yeah. Like, that takes all precedence. I gotta, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what you got to watch. Sit your ass down and show it to you. So I guess I mean, I can talk about my experience about like from this movie and like my personal history with it all I want. But I'm curious as to your initial thoughts and then we can kind of dive in from there.
Cool. Yeah. Glad to see it. Good pick. Cool. Mm-hmm. Keeping it rolling. I was really surprised by the hazing theme.
Yeah.
I didn't really know much about the movie, I guess. Like, a lot less than I thought, seeing that then the whole movie was like, you know, had this threat looming, like, the whole time. It made me a little uncomfortable, kind of. Like, it's funny, you know, but I was also like... I was definitely laughing a bunch and like, you know, grimacing at like getting paddled or whatever. Like, it feels like it's going to be not as bad. And then it's, or they won't go as far as it feels like the movie's allowing them. But then it happens a bunch and it seems like awful.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking got to be a little bit exaggerated, but then you were saying it's like
it's pretty like pretty accurate to the time period and like the regional, you know, areas. That if you read the a book which recently came, I shouldn't say recent. I feel like it's in the, over the last couple of years. It's called All Right, All Right, All Right. It's right over there on my shelf.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really kind of talks about the authenticity of the time and how everybody was kind of, you know, everybody in the cast and stuff was just very Texas based, and you know, so a lot of people like their history of like this kind of, I guess, adolescent, you know, stoner culture was sourced from like, you know, their brothers and their sisters and just all of that. So really great book. I can't recommend it enough. Just like, it's a big boy because it's like, there's a lot to the, like, there's so many facts that like, I have no, like, I don't even remember, but it, you know, it kind of walks through the character development and, you know, scripts, and it's just, if you can hear that, that's the pages of the book being spun or flipped through. I don't know. Spun doesn't make sense. No,
that was cool. That was cool.
They should have called it Hazed and Confused.
You're right. Oh my God, that's spot on.
I absolutely understand what you're saying though about the violence and the hazing, because I don't think people initially know that's what this movie is kind of centered around, which is these rituals and rites of passage. For, you know, from being in eighth grade to becoming a freshman, you know, from being a junior to being a senior. And then it's not just like what that transition period signifies, but what comes after, like what happens after your senior year, you know, what are the decisions you make your senior year that will affect your freshman year of college or your, the first years of your young adult kind of life. So this movie right from the jump is kind of stating like, We're observing these things because it's important to like who these kids become, essentially. So that did you kind of catch any of that from like the hazing, or did you kind of just see it as more of just like a weird kind of like, you know, specific detail of?
I think I was thinking more of it as just what happens. You know, it's a summer thing. You know. I didn't expect it to, be so much of it. But a lot of that, like, generational stuff, you know, I was getting from, like, the hierarchies of the characters. Like, and through that violence or, you know, you see some younger kids getting picked on, and then they pick on even younger kids, you know, and then you see the adults punishing the older kids for picking on the younger kids, you know, and then you see like the mayor or whatever, you know, trying to punish the teacher or something. I don't know. That's just, I don't think that's an actual example, but the way that like everyone's making the younger generation like shitty or whatever, I forget what I wrote down.
There's a sense of, you know, picking on people weaker than you, but then also the understanding of, I guess, you know, these kids like coming into these communities like fully formed, like with their own personality, you know, it's like that the seniors or the juniors that have just become the seniors are picking on the eighth grade kids, and how the eighth graders respond to this is in a way like a test for how they're going to be like handled, I guess, you know, freshman year in general. Like you think of, I guess, towards the end of the movie, if we're going to jump to the jump to details. But you have Parker Posey's character picking on the young eighth grade girl. And she, you know, Parker Posey's, they're at this party at the Moon Tower. It's like kind of towards the end of the night. And she's like, you know, drop, give me 20 or something like that. Air raid, she says.
Oh, that's right.
And one of the, you know, older kids, one of the, you know, kids that she's been hanging out with, is like, no, don't do it. Don't. And she doesn't. And Parker Posey's like, I'm going to make the next year of your life a living hell. And yeah. She's like trashed at this point. Who knows if she'll remember that.
She forgets, but.
But there's a high chance that she doesn't. And it's like, there's these little decisions mm-hmm. that will like shape the ecosystem of this high school.
Yeah, ecosystem. That was something I was feeling mm-hmm. early on too. And yeah, it's like, I guess just for me, I feel like, why does it have to be this way? Like, mm-hmm. why is she going to torture for a whole year this eighth grader?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's a senior. I mean, just...
That's the thing. It's
just
like...
Just be people and don't hurt each other. I don't know. Humanity's abusive.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. If she would have cooperated with the air raid, like how much of that would have actually affected her next year, you know? Mm-hmm. All the other kids are going to be fine with her because mm-hmm. like what does that matter, you know? They're done with the hazing, like they're all at the party together, you know? It's
yeah,
and it's like kind of the same thing with the Ben Affleck character. At a certain point, everybody yeah. realizes it goes too far.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling from the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. it is a funny sort of jump back to the beginning mm-hmm. when Ben Affleck and a couple people roll up to the school and they're like shouting through the megaphone about how they're going to like beat on these kids.
Yeah.
Specifically the one kid, which is funny. And then they show the teacher and the teacher's like laughing because the teacher knows like, yeah, you're going to get paddled.
This is how it goes.
That's just what happens. And mm-hmm. it's funny and fine. Another way it kind of connects to Beach Bum as well, where it's like things are just fine, even though like somebody dies or, you know, these guys are waiting for you at baseball practice, waiting for you to, or the game, mm-hmm. waiting for you to get done. Just so they can, like...
No, it's brutal.
Break your tailbone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. traumatic shit, you know? But, like, I guess it's just the way of life. And thinking of Texas, too, and, like, macho hierarchies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
everybody has their place in this.
Or whatever, like... Mm-hmm. You know, that's why everyone, yeah, is like, oh, I get power from... picking on the thing below me
mm-hmm.
is like what a lot of the characters are, or, you know, there's that throughout. And I think that threat, like I was saying, is it competes with the vibes, the chill vibes on this first viewing, like where mm-hmm. Beach Bum has a lot of other stuff to say and talk about. Initially, it's just thick vibes. And
right.
And then when I think of that movie, I think of the vibes. Same with Dazed and Confused. I know that it's about that, you know, I know a little bit about Linklater and this movie specifically being like, you know, kind of flowing, not really about anything, or just kind of like day in the life,
mm-hmm.
kind of a different type of storytelling, sort of. So where both movies have like these great vibes, I felt like the threat in Dazed and Confused is a lot more present than some of like the violence and the fucked up shit in Beach Bum.
Right.
You know, I kind of forget about Zac Efron smashing that guy with the bottle. You know, it's like, oh my God, that's like, that's.
Yeah, it's an kind of bad. An upsetting moment that's also yeah. weirdly kind of cruelly funny almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like then the next scene they're just like spending the money on the boat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like it's fine.
Right.
You know. So that is another thing that Dazed and Confused does offer is just the kind of like you get through it. It does then, you know, give you some experience, and then yeah, some of the kids end up hanging out with them, and then that mm-hmm. sort of elevates their status, so it was kind of worth it, you know, to come through something like the hazing. But also it's just, I was just like, man, I would hate like to have grown up like that.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable thing to watch in a lot of moments, but it also mm-hmm. it's thrilling because I'm not there, So it's like, I don't have to worry about any of it. But like watching like Mitch, who's kind of one of the main characters in this kind of tapestry in this ensemble, watching him, you know, evade it initially, you know, with like his friend's mom pulls a shotgun on Ben Affleck.
That was hardcore.
You know, and then the moment where he just kind of, he resigns his fate and he walks out, you know, lets the other kids run that way while he goes that way and lures all the guys back there. He gets the slow motion slap with the paddle to, I forget that what song it is, but it's beautiful. And it's like,
the soundtrack is awesome too.
Oh, incredible.
It's like classic.
It's like, it's a soundtrack that's so like thick that it has two CDs. Oh, so it's damn. like Boogie Nights has two CDs. It's like, it's just like song after song after song.
It's like greatest hits of the radio.
Yeah, really great. And you know, I think part of the violence and just like the energy of the movie comes from, all right, how do these kids respond? Like, you know, how do these like young people respond to like that? Because Mitch, he takes it like champ, and he ends up getting a ride home from Pink, who's probably the most popular kid in school. And you know, then Pink shares his stories about how he got it, and you start to understand, man, it's like if you go through it with it, and you don't come out of it too bad, and then you show up at the Emporium 2 hours later, and you act like it doesn't faze you at all. You're already in it, you know. You're already in the mix of what your next 4 years of your life is going to be. And I think a lot of the other popular kids know that, and like that's like maybe that's why they're like they're super into it, because at the end of the day, it's like it's just part of what you go through.
Just life, like life beats you down, and then
you're expected to get back up. If you go home and cry and you don't go to any other parties, they're not going to look for you. You know, that's the kind of thing. So it's tough. It's like tough love in a way.
It's kind of real.
Not that the film, I think the film, you know, like many Linklater films, it does not endorse this. It is simply a camera turning its eye towards the processes and the systems of this community.
I bet it's awesome to, if you grew up in this community, to see this movie and have that nostalgia and feel like, that's what it was like. I got my ass whipped.
Like, could you, a lot of people, like I read like YouTube comments and stuff, they're like, this is exactly what it was like for me in high school or stuff like that. And it's like, you know, they're like, they got the vibe perfectly. And it's like, man, imagine watching like a professional movie about like your childhood.
Like your memories.
Right. Like, I, you know, I'm sure that that is that way for a lot of people with like American Graffiti, with this, with Dazed and Confused. You know, there's a lot of memory pieces out there that kind of trigger, you know, certain feelings and stuff. But it's like, you know, I'm not going to have that, at least not yet. You know, but it's like, I don't know, there's something special about the 70s that this movie conveys. It doesn't feel like dewy-eyed at all. It doesn't feel like it's ignoring like stuff like this. But at the same time, it does kind of take it all in stride.
There's so much to the tapestry of the characters and, I think like the characters really, the way the factions, you know, are represented, it's like everyone is there. So it does make it feel a bit more real and not as like starry-eyed, as you know, it feels a little more just like documentary, sort of, you know, just like and then there was this group and then there were these people, you know.
But like I feel like, you know, every high school experience is different, but I feel like my high school experience, which it was a really small high school, it kind of felt closer to this because, you know, you had like the popular kids, the alternative kids, you know, basically every genre of you know, a friend group.
But for sure,
they all, like, it all intermingled and connected at some point. It was never fully rigid and, like, you know, disconnected. And that's what this movie understands. Like, if you watch the beginning, everybody's hanging out, last days of school, you know, no one's doing anything. They're just there to be there, yeah. You know, to just hang out. That's such a vivid, like, moment for me in the movie where it's like, man, like, yeah, remember that? Where you just, like, went to, you'd like, you know, you had your exams were done. And it was just, like, this time where, like, well, yeah, I guess school's still in session for some reason. You know, these kids, they just show up, hang out. And you start to get, like, I guess a concept of what their just day-to-day life is like, which is... Yeah, you hang out with these people mainly, but then you see these other people and you talk to these people, and then these people you kind of ignore, but you're still around them. Mm-hmm. It's all of that kind of captures the day-to-day, I think, function of high school in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I also wrote down the note popularity rituals,
which yeah, I have rituals in there as well.
Like the line is from I don't remember her name. The Mitch's older sister, who is the junior to being a senior. Okay. She's great in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she says to the young girl who we were talking about earlier, are you in or are you out?
Oh, yeah.
And she looks back at, like, her friends that were, like, clearly her friends from middle school. And they're kind of whispering. And she, like, looks back at them and it's like, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just, like, this casual moment of, like, they chose me. Like, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way in to the popular crowd, mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
And you have to leave some stuff behind.
Right. And it's just like a really well observed moment of like that just changed that entire girl's like the next 4 years of her life. Mm-hmm. Possibly the chain of her entire existence. Mm-hmm. You know? The friends you know, the people you know, like the perception you have as a person by the time you're out of high school.
And it's interesting that we have such little time in that time mm-hmm. in our lives. Like, you know, you think of an actor who's like, you know, maybe a younger actor who's like raw or something and then grows up to like be a good actor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You think that person was only, you know, they spent the least amount of time of their life as like a kid in these moments mm-hmm. or you know transferring it back to the movie like in high school these couple of years you know once they're out and then on to college then it's like adulthood you know is after that you're kind of like transitioning into adulthood and then you're just an adult for the rest of your life for mm-hmm. like 50 years you know so we're only in this fragile ecosystem. You know what I mean? Like
right.
For such a short period, but then it has such a huge impact.
Yeah. Well, one of the teens in the movie says, like, don't you feel that everything we've been taught is just there to service the future? And it's like a moment of self-awareness. You know, it's very much a Linklater line. Mm-hmm. Like Linklater every so often is like monologue.
Or yeah.
existential thought. You know, but teens have these thoughts, of course. Yeah, you know, it's totally. Not, and I don't think that's, and whether they're like unique thoughts or they're kind of just like, you know, like the stoner character who is like, I wonder how many people out there fucking, man. Yeah. It's like you're right. Like, I guess you know, think about it, but also like, you know, pretty typical stoner type thought. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you know, she says, yeah, have we just been taught to just service the future? What about like life right now? Mm-hmm. And it's about these kids like wanting to enjoy this freedom that they're given in this time before they have this baggage of responsibility and how they're led into these paths of what they choose and how sometimes kids don't know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to learn to like make their own choices. You know, you have Pink who doesn't want to sign this football permission slip saying you will abstain from drugs and alcohol. He thinks it's just like a bullshit thing to sign. Everybody has signed it and like disregarded it, but he mm-hmm. thinks it's a moral principle. He's like, if I sign this, like what else do they want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to put his foot down.
Yeah.
And that's a choice. Or you have Adam Goldberg's character who gets picked on from a guy after he like comments that this guy's smoking weed at the party.
Yeah.
And he like gets all pissed about it. He's like, why don't I fight him? You know, why don't I fucking sock him in the nose kind of a mm-hmm. thing? And you understand that these kids are just like trying to have, like, they're just trying to have control over their lives, I think, before they're completely like kind of thrown into oh, I'm going to have to do this, 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 and this to make ends meet. Or I'm going to have to do this if I want that job and all that. So,
yeah. And he makes a comment about having like a visceral experience too in the car when they're like, let's go do something or whatever.
Right. You know,
let's go to the party. Fuck it. Like we wouldn't normally, but like, let's do it. And then I love that. Then he's the one who's like gets all riled up and then has cause to fight. That moment actually was like a time in the movie where I did feel the vibes fully. You know, I'm feeling them. I'm like, this is awesome. We're all at this party. It's cool. We're not getting paddled. Like, that's fucked up. Yeah. You know, this movie is awesome. And then there's this confrontation, and I was like, God damn it. Like, why is this shit always happening? Like, why is there always some fucking bullshit, you know? And we, and so that part was like, it was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit in the world too, you know? So I'm glad then that that character, you know, worked himself into being like, I'm going to just punch that guy, you know? And then he does it and he gets his visceral experience. And I feel like I'm hoping for some of the older students, like with the paddling, to like get their comeuppance, you know, or like,
well, Ben Affleck does.
He does
in a really funny way.
Like I wanted, you know, it's like punch Parker Posey in the face, you know, or like instead of, you know, getting down and doing a push up for her or whatever, it's like,
stand your ground.
Yeah, you're gonna fuck with me anyway. Well, then I'm just gonna kick the shit out of you. You know, it's like, ah, god damn
it. But yeah, like there are things you watch and you're like, I would have done that differently, or like I wouldn't have been in that situation.
Yeah, or I wish it would.
And it's kind of like, it's like, man, like you think about it, these are the experiences that these people are going to remember for the rest of their lives. Like Adam Goldberg, after he gets into the fight, he's like showing off his bruises and stuff. And he's like, you know, in a couple of years, no one's going to remember who won or lost. No one's going to remember that I got the shit kicked out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, man, like if you're already thinking about like how it's going to be perceived, you just know that, you know, 50 years on, he's still probably thinking about that whole incident. And it's like, what are the moments that make like a lasting impression in your life.
Yeah. And do you want to like not do anything or like not have experiences? Yeah. We were talking afterwards in our initial viewing, you know, these themes of like, it does kind of get into what makes a good life or, you know, what makes a meaningful life. Or I think I ultimately come to that. I think about it a bunch in ways to like justify my failures or my future failures. But yeah, just,
yeah, kind of the, I guess the understanding of this movie, it's like, it puts you in perspective. It kind of places you in a, in a reflective state where you can kind of think about, you know, what did they have going for them or not. You know, like kind of the sense of success is all relative and all that, which I believe Linklater is less about like, are these kids going to be successful at life or more like, are they going to be okay? I think that's kind of his main prerogative.
Yeah. Like the group that doesn't want to go to the party, like they do it because it's like something to do and different. But if they didn't, you know, I guess it's really all, as everything is just subjective. Like, if they didn't go to the party, but that's what they wanted to do, is not go, then that's good for them. So they feel comfortable with themselves and their decision and the way that they're living their life.
And then they hear about the party the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they're like, oh, like that sounds crazy. That sounds wild. You know, it's like the idea of like,
wanted to be there.
What would have happened if I was there, sort of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and it really comes down to just living life, get out there and just, you know, I mean, you can't escape it. You can stay in and, you know, stub your toe.
Right.
And it's like, there's life got you on when you were hiding away.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, there's never a you can't hide from what life will bring you, you know? Like, you know, mm-hmm. people think they can just, you know, just hold up in your house and just do the things, mm-hmm. do your stay-at-home job, go out very minimally. Life is still going to find its way to your mm-hmm. door, whether you like it or not. So, and if
that's how you feel comfortable,
that's fine.
Then that's like how you found meaning in your life or mm-hmm. whatever. And then, yeah, that's just as valid as somebody who's like, I need extreme shit to like feel alive or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, right. like just cause I was closer to the edge, you know, doesn't mean that I'm like, have a less meaningful life.
Right. It's the both perspectives and everything in between is it's equally valid. I think Linklater is just very interested in exploring how these characters react to those different extremes and like where everybody falls. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about the Matthew McConaughey character, which is the key connection here between the mm-hmm. beach bum and Dazed and Confused.
Moon Tower, Moon Dog.
I think you're onto something. I think it's there. But Wooderson mm-hmm. plays like a early to mid-20s kind of, I'm thinking mid-20s, kind of dude works for the city, didn't go to college, mm-hmm. Is just trying to, you know, live his life and score high school chicks. Kind of a creep.
Yeah.
Also, like, very much, like, the kids look up to him. The high school kids look up to him because like he's got a cool car. He's got money. Mm-hmm. But he also like the adults in general are kind of just like has been burnout loser mm-hmm. kind of a character. But you think of how, you know, Linklater looks at everybody here. You know, he is not, I guess, kind of condescended to or looked down at in any different way as any of these other characters. Mm-hmm. So you see how these different paths kind of converge and how the kids think of him versus how they think of someone like Mitch or how they think of someone like the Stoner character. Mm-hmm. And like just seeing how all these characters interact kind of creates like an ultimate meaning about just like how life will totally take over someone else, you know, for you and me and everybody. It's just mm-hmm. like a total, I guess, a hodgepodge, an absolute mix of experience.
Yeah.
Things
come and go. People come and go. Mm-hmm. You know, you're into one thing and then you don't want to be like the football stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, maybe I don't want to play. There, another point, he's like, we could do, you know, we could be living, or, you know, he says like, if we were in a band.
Right.
Like, we could be doing the same kind of shit. But in a band, it's like, what about that? You know, and right. that really like kind of doesn't come back. But just the idea of something else, mm-hmm. you know, but we're all sticking together doing it. Like his buddy at the end, you know, when he kind of decides like he's not going to play, or he says like, I might play, but I'm not signing that fucking sheet of paper.
Right.
Which I guess is kind of taken, like everybody takes it as like he's not gonna play, mm-hmm. And then so his friend is like, so that's it, or that's that then, huh, or something like mm-hmm. that. I wrote that down, and
it's a great line.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, we probably aren't gonna hang out again, or at least, I mean, I'm sure they're gonna see each other, but it feels like, because then he just walks off screen, and it's like, okay, their relationship is done, or at least is gonna like unravel.
Right.
Probably naturally, because they're not in the football team together. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they'll hang out here and there, but you know, then that, I forget his name, the football character guy.
Oh, like the main character?
Yeah.
Pink.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so then he's like in the car with Matthew McConaughey, like he chose to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it's like,
yeah, it's
like, oh, this is the last time like we're not friends anymore, or you know, not that it's.
I think they're probably still friends. It's mainly just an idea of. You're right. That path, like it's a fork in the road kind of a thing, you know, and they made the decision. Well, Pink made the decision, mm-hmm. and everyone else now is just going to react to that decision.
Yeah.
And the things that happen as, you know, whether they hang out or not is all a result of the choices that people make.
I like that the friend isn't like upset at him like the other friend is, Cole Hauser.
Yeah. Well, because he sees how it will affect him, and it will affect the team if he doesn't play, because Pink is the star quarterback of the team.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, because then they need to find another quarterback, and he's obviously very good. They're saying they have a chance at state, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He has a strong reaction to the fact that he might not play. Mm-hmm. Versus his other friend, once he finds out, like, that's the decision he made. He's not like, fuck you. He's like, okay. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, he's made his choice on his own terms, and his friend respects that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that. Just the reality of the choices people make, mm-hmm. and like the consequences. It makes me think of Boyhood. This is a scene that's pretty on early on in the movie, and you haven't seen it.
Didn't see it.
But you know the concept of they filmed a little bit of this boy's life in a fictional context for
7 Up,
12 years. Yes, those films. Mm-hmm. There's something interesting about Boyhood is that it has that Linklater kind of existentialism and Texas flavor.
Texistentialism.
Okay. We need to coin that.
Nobody steal that. None of you steal it.
Don't you dare. But it also has like the kind of the formal implications of something like the 7-Up series, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a moment where Mason ends up moving. His mom is moving them to a new city. New opportunities for her for work, because she's a single mother. And he, at the beginning, there's established that he has like a friend. They like ride bikes together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they look at the JCPenney catalog for lingerie together. Like, this is when he's really young. He's like 7 or 8. And he's in the car and they're driving away, and he sees his friend outside the car window, and his friend is riding his bike, and he's like waving and like trying to get his attention. And then he's kind of just out of frame and he's gone. And that's the last time you hear of him.
Mm.
And it's like this moment of like, they meant something to each other.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, maybe they didn't get their number or something, or it's just like you're moving to another city.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you, you know, parents are going to plan for play dates with like a neighborhood kid, like when they're like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
It's just like this moment of reality where he like sees his friend and then he doesn't. And as far as we know for the rest of the movie, there's no connection back to that. And sometimes things do come back in that movie, but it's very interesting how it's planned out.
Yeah.
But it just makes you think about the decisions that are made, whether it's just reality, just life throws things at you, things happen. That's a consequence of, you know, family needing to make ends meet and all that.
Yeah.
But also like a personal relationship gone.
Yeah.
Just like that. Really a really powerful moment in the movie, and I think this movie kind of it's more comedic than Boyhood,
for sure,
but it's no less powerful in how it puts all these moments together.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, like that's what these collection of moments is, like what makes up the person of who you are, like how these little things happen and how you will say yes to that or you won't go to that party or you won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It all adds up. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my take on it. And I've grown to like, I think the initial watch of this movie was a real buzz just from the soundtrack, the vibes, the humor, the characters, everybody's so likable. Mm-hmm. We're making it sound kind of like heavy, and it is. But it also is really funny and just enjoyable to watch, I think.
It has a lightness, like, I think the reality of it,
mm-hmm.
the way it feels like you know these characters, you know people like them. It's a lot of different types of characters and, like, ways and relationships.
Right.
And that feels very relatable. And then, the music.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, you know, ultimately everything's fine,
mm-hmm.
you know, like even in that fight, it's like the guy who's getting, you know, who's like the asshole guy,
mm-hmm.
like he's probably not going to go fight this kid again. I mean, maybe, you know, but even that is like.
It was just like a moment of aggression and energy just mm-hmm. kind of being let loose.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a party. Stuff is going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. it's like. So, yeah, it just feels real. Mm-hmm. It is a very, like, real realism to it. And the way that the actors, too, are, like, lesser known. I mean, it's hard to watch it because I recognize so many faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, like, of clips I've seen and, you know, it's been a famous movie for so long.
Yeah, the all right.
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing that.
I get older, they stay the same age, right? Like, there's so many iconic lines here.
Yeah.
That you don't even need really to mention. I do like the line from Adam Goldberg after Matthew McConaughey's character impresses, like, Adam Goldberg's, like, redheaded friend. She's, like, all, like, excited that he, like, talked to her and stuff, invited her to the Moon Tower party.
Mm-hmm.
And he says something like, "Do you realize that when he graduated, we were, like, 3 years old?" It's just a really good line that kind of puts into perspective, like, how they see him versus, like, how maybe he's still, like, you know, he's kind of a pro at picking up the ladies.
Yeah.
So
in that scene too, Slater, the stoner guy, is, like, in the car and he says to that girl, he says, like, "Hey, I know you." Like, we were in geometry class or something.
Doesn't she say, like, chemistry or something?
Yeah.
Like she, like, corrects him, I think.
I love that because it, you know, like, for everyone's perspectives, like, he's off the grid, I feel like, as far as what he's thinking about and what he brings to the conversations. Like, it's not macho shit. It's not, like, trying to pick up chicks. It's like he's into doing drugs and whatever. And then, yeah, stoner thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But just that he kind of comes out of nowhere with his dialogue. I love that that's a representation, too. Mm-hmm. One that I kind of felt more close to. You know, there were a couple characters that I was like, oh, I'm kind of like that. I'm, like, shy like this guy, or, like, yeah, I don't want to go to the party, but I do. But then it's like, it's lame, but, like, but yeah, I don't just want to sit around, you know, like, I want to go do something, but, like, I don't want to get into a fight, and then I don't want to get paddled, and, like, what the fuck? Why is everybody so, like, into paddling, like, much younger kids?
Yeah, it's a, it's almost like watching, like a nature documentary.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I could hear David Attenborough narrating this.
That would be awesome.
But I do like the line from Slater, where he is, he gets out of the car, and, like, one of the football buddies is like near the car, and he's like, "All right, I'm going to give you shotgun, but that's only because I'm going inside." And the other guy's like, he, like, nods. He's like, "I get it." Like completely sincerely, like, "I understand. Yeah. This is an honor. Thank you for letting me have a shotgun." You know, it's like, I understand the gravity of what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course everybody here is stoned and drunk at this point, but it's like, it's pure just, like, communication in a lot of ways.
Like, respect, and also it's, like, funny, but it's not, like, a joke. You don't wear it as a joke.
No, there's a lot to this movie that just, it just shines more and more the more I watch it. It's one of the more rewatchable movies, I think, I've ever seen. Like, I could throw it on anytime. I could throw it on now. Like, it really is that. And it's because, you know, Tarantino loves it, and he has talked about its position as a hangout movie, which is you go back to watch the characters. You don't go back for any specific plot or narrative, right? You go back because you want to experience those moments with those characters again and see them react to everything, and which is really impressive with, like, such a young, you know, like a young, I guess, group of kids, really, you know, young actors who, like, a lot of them weren't really that experienced, but they just capture a vibe that's just like magical.
There's so much in there. You can, like, watch different characters each time. That rewatchability for sure.
A lot of the shots are kind of, you know, they're not far away, but they're kind of just like these medium shots of Linklater just, like, bringing people and out of the frame, and you can just, like, watch how, oh, look at how he's reacting to her. And then he's going inside, she doesn't follow him, you know, she's going that way now. It's like you could almost, like, track the movements of these characters in a way.
There's a book like that.
Yes.
An art book of like, trajectory, character trajectories from like famous movies. I forget
where, that's cool.
where it was.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of people in the background too that like you assume are dealing with the same kind of things as like the characters we're getting to know. Because that was one thing I was thinking, like at the Moon Tower party, like there's so many other people here. I wonder if they're dealing with the same bullshit. Like, were they, do they want to paddle people? You know, because it does kind of feel like it's just the few characters that we're watching, but I'm trying to remember to extrapolate to like the city or something, you know, or at least the township or whatever, however big it is.
Right.
But yeah, but then to think just like every day of our lives, we pass by so many people
that we'll never see again.
And I think about like that person has their own problems and then they're in a family and then all their family members have their own problems. And just like it starts to reach thinking about like infinity in a way, just how like, you know, what's the exponential
the growth.
You know, when you start trying to connect everybody.
Well, yeah, it's like these intimate moments that feel cosmic, and it's not about these little details or these small problems, but it's how all these problems intersect with other problems, and it all adds up to this giant, you know, this giant world that we're on. I like my probably my favorite needle drop in any movie is in this movie, and it's Tuesday's Gone by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Now, it comes at a point in this movie where it's right after Adam Goldberg and the bully, they get into the fight at the Moon Tower. And it cuts, right as the song kind of gets into gear, it cuts to a beer keg on its way out. And a kid's pumping it. It's this close-up shot of the beer keg. It's pumping and pumping. He's trying to, you know, do the hose and all that, and nothing's working. And they dump the beer, their beer cup over it, and the beer drips down the handle of the keg.
Yeah, night's over.
And it then there's this overhead shot, and you start to see everybody kind of disperse. Like it, like the fight was a natural end point. As the beer too, but it was this moment of everybody kind of being like kind of shocked back to reality, away from like the days and the
confusion.
The confusion of what's going on. You know, they're in this state and then they're not. And then you start to notice how Linklater is going back to these groups, but these groups have changed. You start to see like the redhead hanging out with Matthew McConaughey and getting his number, and they're like, they plan a date, you know, and then you start to see, you know, the freshmen's, they're going out for breakfast, you know, with the seniors and all that. It's like, what is going on? But you start to recognize just how different their lives are, the people that they've made connections with over the course of just one day. And then you start, and it really is a moment where I get chills thinking about it. The song and just the culmination of the movie, it kind of feels like a moment where everything kind of surges, and it hits you, it hits me at least, like like so hard.
That's cool.
You know, like the beginning with Sweet Emotion hits me on a different level, where it's just like, oh, we're back in the movie.
Yeah, I can feel that for sure. Like
just coasting in. Everybody's here. You know, everybody rolls up in their cars because it's like, you know, it's the school day is starting, and you're just like, oh, all right, everybody's here. But by the end, all the context of these moments and everything coming together really hits on an emotional level. It's pretty incredible.
Man, I could watch like 10 more hours of this movie.
Exactly.
Movies like it. Similar to The Beach Bum, where like when there is a plot, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, we have to like advance the story, I guess, you know. Like I just want to hang out.
Right. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of conflict here, just there is, just as there is conflict in The Beach Bum. But at the same time, this movie, it does that thing where it takes everything in stride, and it's just one choice is not, it's not the end of the world. It never, a fight is not the end of the, you know, Adam Goldberg's character. It's just the end of the party, you know, that nothing has really changed except that now you've had that experience and everything else is going to be kind of, you know, it's just another piece of you. It's another detail.
Yeah, it's just like watching like pathways get made,
mm-hmm.
like naturally.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to watch. And it's so natural, but it's also, it feels very like, I don't know, precise too.
Some of the camera work, I was just like, oh man, we can talk about some of the movement and it's stuff.
Beautiful.
There is one shot, I think it's closer to the beginning, that it clued me into some of the camera movement. Because yeah, at first in the school, the way it moves between characters are where like, we're following a character through the hallway and they have some dialogue and then they go into a room, but the camera like moves with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of the frame now, but then we're landing on some other characters and now we're just listening to them. And it's like, yeah, we're just walking through the hallway. Like that seamless, like long take
mm-hmm.
happens a lot. And that gives you a lot of like, you know, being there.
A lot of breathing room. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the one shot where like it kind of cranes down or something and like perfectly fits on the front of the windshield of
mm-hmm.
some of the people in their car.
That's a good one.
And like it, you know, I was looking at the corners trying to be like, is there any windshield showing or like how precisely, and I could feel it like get right into place, like exactly,
mm-hmm.
but still it felt like very natural and organic, like I'm just kind of floating around looking. But yeah, that was like, oh man, this is like very finely tuned, but then also it's so invisible
mm-hmm.
because it feel longer, it feels more play like or documentary style, like you're saying, just put the camera down and you see what was happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know you've seen Slacker, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that like, goes to its yeah. most literal conclusion of, you know, every single conversation we have ends with the camera following someone else,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it becomes this, I rewatched that movie a couple years ago and it blew me away.
It's
like,
been some years since I've seen it.
I did not expect, because like it's his second movie. I think Linklater had a feature before that, yes, but it was like a student.
Something about snow plows.
Yeah.
Money.
Damn, yeah.
What was the name of that? It's got like an interesting title. Mm-hmm.
But I was really, I mean, I always knew Slacker was good, but the rewatch of it like hit me hard. I was like, man, his ideas are just right there, and mm-hmm. the quirky cast of characters mm-hmm. and just the idea of like how people find each other and like yeah. what happens and what are these yeah. like links and all of that is like, it's just really strong. And this mm-hmm. kind of is just a more, I think, complex and, you know, kind of a stronger version of that yeah. in a lot of ways. It does, you know, it's not quite so, I guess, methodical in how Slacker moves.
Mm-hmm.
This is more just like you're saying, free flowing, but precise. It knows, yeah. you know, it knows how to land on a two shot. It knows how to really pull
mm-hmm.
some gorgeous camera movements. He's a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
It's just the before movies you haven't seen, which are, oh my God.
No, I haven't.
They'll ruin you for life. they'll mend your heart and then break it over and over.
What about Everybody Wants Some?
Yeah, so that one,
I didn't see that either, but it's like a spiritual sequel,
right? So it's set in college around a young freshman who is moving into like a baseball house essentially.
Okay.
and he's gonna be playing college ball. And so he moves into this house, and it's set in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and it's about these guys going to bars, trying to pick up women, fucking around,
mm-hmm.
and it has a lot of similar ideas about just, I guess, moments of life culminating.
Cool.
I really like it. I've grown to like it a lot. I don't think it's as strong as this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little too glossy. But like it fits the 80s vibe. It's not really a problem. It's just
yeah.
for me, it's like I prefer kind of the hazy, smoky
mm-hmm.
version
mm-hmm.
that this is.
Yeah, that's cool.
But totally. Linklater could make another one of those movies every 2 years, and I would be
dude.
Front row every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, day one viewing kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're just gonna kind of go back to just broad conversation.
Yeah, let's have it.
What did you think of the movie, Corey? What did you think of Dazed and Confused?
I liked it. I've been wanting to, or I've been thinking about it since we watched it. It's been a couple days since mm-hmm. we watched it. It was my first viewing, so I'm, you know, also more interested in why you chose it and stuff. So that was cool to hear all that. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. I want to watch it again at some point.
There you go.
I feel like I was thinking of watching it before we recorded so that I could have had my another look. But I think I'll just save it for whenever it happens again. But super cool. Really enjoyed the vibes.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was a little less threatening with all the paddling.
I mean, that is a large portion of the plot. You're not wrong about that. Yeah.
Like, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It's a good movie. You know, it's like,
why was there so much abuse?
Is this a good movie? My opinion will officially, you know, the cult status, the
mm-hmm.
it being legendary film will depend on if I think it's cool or not.
No one will like this if you don't like it anymore, Corey.
Well, don't worry, because it's a cool movie. It's really cool. Now, I like just stuff that's different and also non like aggressive, even though this has that aggression in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, just the vibes and just like the slice of life. It's so cool. And movies aren't usually like that.
Right.
They're very predictable a lot of the time, even for, you know, surprise endings you'll never see coming or whatever. Then mm-hmm. it's like, well, now I'm in the mood to, or, you know, in the mode of trying to predict it. So now it's even more predictable than if you didn't say that. I'd still be trying to predict whatever I'm watching.
Right.
I don't know. Just so much. There's just so much of the same stuff out there, even if it's like a good version of whatever it is.
Because you could very much see a more conventional version of this movie being made,
mm-hmm.
you know, that focuses more on Pink and his permission slip of getting that signed,
mm-hmm.
more on like, you know, a kid trying to get into college or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
these choices are made like they're brought to the level of a huge narrative decision. And that is less of a narrative decision here and more of just like a choice,
mm-hmm.
just like so many other things that happen in the movie. So it's kind of all brought to a similar level, which makes it kind of abstract, which is cool.
Like, do I want movies to be more like real life? Or, and then I see one that's too real and I'm like, I want a movie that's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
What is, I live real life.
Yeah.
I think it's really just the monotony of feeling like, you know, movies have to do certain things,
mm-hmm.
and like 90% of movies do those things.
Right.
So it just kind of becomes like, I just want to see something different. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some fresh stuff. And Dazed and Confused totally delivers on some fresh feelings, some super cool vibes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a paddling.
That's a paddling, yeah. Well, Corey, as always, thank you so much for coming on. And you know, it's great because I like through our podcast, like learning more about like just not your just your taste, but mm-hmm. also like what films you've seen. You're just like your personal journey with cinema is so cool, and like the fact that through this, I learned that you hadn't seen this, which prompted me to choose it, which I probably would have never chosen it otherwise, considering how popular it already is.
Right.
You know, most of our films here, we're trying to like talk about stuff that doesn't get nearly as much love. This is a
mm-hmm.
Criterion certified. I saw it last year in the theater on 420. Like, it's well known.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it's worth giving another look. Absolutely. 30 year anniversary.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, but
If you haven't seen it, watch it, folks. It's excellent.
I like your decision to kind of just go with the flow and make these connections. You know, my episode, the final episode of season one, mm-hmm. will be, I chose a couple weeks ago, thought of it. So
it's rigid and it's ready to go.
It will not be connected to this movie, you know, but I'm sure there's,
and that's a good thing,
some way we can make it.
It's like the 6 degrees of bacon. Do you know that?
Yeah. And when we watched Dazed and Confused, we were talking about our high school experiences too. So, I mean, we're just hanging out. We're friends. We're getting to know each other.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Corey, as always, thank you
on
so
much. On air handshake.
Everybody, thanks for listening to another look. I'm Will.
I'm Corey.
Yes. Bye-bye, folks.
Goodbye.
All right.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did. Oh, my God.